When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out impossiblefoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's impossiblefoods.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Ask Men Anything. It's me, your host, Emma Willman. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate your time. I've got another great episode for you guys today. Before I get into the episode, I just want to plug a couple dates. I'm going to be in Syracuse March 22nd and 23rd. I'm going to be in Key West the 28th, 29th, and 30th. And then I am going to be in Chicago the 4th, 5th, and 6th. And then I am going to be in Albany on the 12th and 13th. And then I'm going to be in Ohio. I believe it's Perrysburg, Ohio, April 19th and 20th. And then, very excited about this, I will be in San Francisco May 2, 3, 4. Those are the dates I've got coming up. You can get tickets at imemmawillman.com or on Instagram. Just DM me and I'll point you to the right place. My guest today has written on The Other Two and Patriot Act with Hasan Minhaj, writer and comedian Moss Perricone. Before we get into our conversation that's the meat of the episode, I run this by him and I'd be very curious what you think. Would you cancel a date if someone doesn't tell you what they do for work before the date and you asked explicitly? So just curious, what do people think about that? Would you cancel a date if you ask explicitly and the person says, no, none of your beeswax, Buster. Very curious what people think. Also, we get into talking about this new phenomenon of men with pearls, which apparently is happening all over the place. I'm missing it. And I'm talking about like, it's not a euphemism for something. Pearls around the neck, you know the kind. The oysters in the sea or whatever they are. I forget. You know what I'm talking about. Pearls. Here's the episode. And as always, write in at AMA@betches.com. Rate and review. It really helps us out. I appreciate it to the moon and back. You can do it on podcasts. Just go in, write a review, bada bing, bada boom, put something out there, helps us out. Also, please share the episode with anybody you think could learn from it. Find a wild card. Could be someone random, someone you haven't talked to in a while. Just be like, boom, and then give them no context, and then they can find meaning in it themselves. Please write in at AMA@betches.com. Here is the episode.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Me too. I'm happy you're here too. Did I say your name right?
Oh, you nailed it. Yeah, that was great.
Good. Great.
I'm so loose about it though. I need to, because whenever, I'm sure you have the same thing, before you get brought up on stage, people will be like, how do I say your name? And I'm always like, whatever you're feeling. And I have to stop doing that.
So I do the exact same thing. And I've wondered about it too, because it's like, does it seem like I don't like myself? Because I'll be like, They'll be like, how do you want me to bring you up? And I'm like, I don't care at all. Like, you can say whatever you want about me. I don't give a shit. And people are like, okay, like, I was just asking for your name. Like, I didn't need a whole backstory on your self-worth where you're like, you could be like, bleh, and I'll waddle my ass up on the stage. I just drilled why I said that. But it's because it's like, I don't know. I do care. Like, if someone really messed it up, like if I was like Moss Rudolph or something, then wouldn't it be a little like, hey,
I'd certainly be confused. Yeah. But it's also like the whole point of not caring is like, I want to minimize this interaction. Like, I don't care. And it actually maximizes the interaction because then it becomes them being like, well, you really should care. That is your name. And I'm like, fuck, now I'm getting a pep talk.
I actually think this is going to sound like a really big jump, but it's just something I think about a lot. Yeah. But the way you just articulated it kind of summarized how I feel in a way I hadn't summarized to myself before. But how you just said, like, trying to minimize the interaction, making it a bigger thing, but, like, doing it out of just, like, not wanting to. That's how it is when... This is going to be a big jump. People ask me about pronouns because I'm like, what are your pronouns? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, whatever. Just bring me and say it's like she, her. And they're like, okay. Yeah. But like, it makes me uncomfortable So then I go hard into like, I don't care. Like, I'm just trying to figure, I'm just like, and then it makes it, I'm just trying to do it because I'm like, duh. And then it becomes like a whole bigger thing.
Yeah. No, trying to look like you don't care about something makes it look like you care about it way too much.
Same. That's also like with dating too.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I had an interaction the other day, which I would be curious, where I haven't like run this by anybody, but for context, are you in a relationship?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So someone was saying they're supposed to be on a date and then they canceled the date. And they said they canceled the date. They hadn't met the person. They were talking online. They canceled it because it was a guy who canceled it. She wouldn't tell him what he did for work.
Oh, interesting.
Would you? And I was like, oh, I see how that's weird. Like, I would feel uncomfortable with that too. And he asked her directly. He was like, what do you do for work? And she said, I'd prefer not to say.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't cancel the date over
you wouldn't
that.
Cancel it?
No, I think I would be more excited for the date because I'd be like, I want to see what this person's deal is.
Interesting. Yeah. That's what my girlfriend said. And that's also what, like, it was like an interaction that happened on stage. And then a woman was like, I wouldn't have canceled it. They don't owe me anything. Like, I can find out in person.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I'm coming from the office, where are you coming from? And I was like, mind your business.
No, totally. I mean, that's the thing, is it's not about the job. It's that you're kind of defensive about it. It's like, what are you hiding?
Totally. Yeah, I guess it's that it's like, hey, it better be pretty cool then, I guess. Because if I'm like, you're not even like going to say, I'm going to assume.
No, totally.
I'm going to assume you run some type of underground sanitation business. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, to say I prefer not to say to like an innocuous question, I'm like, I'm just assuming you're a strange person.
Right.
Like, you're not a regular person.
Right. Which actually, that would be kind of enticing.
Yeah, then. No, totally. Yeah. Just for research purposes. Yeah, like, who is this?
I'll be there early. Yeah. Right before we started recording, Moss put a little thing in his mouth and I said, what is that? Because I'm just like seeing what people are consuming, and it was a little tobacco bag.
Yeah, a little nicotine pouch.
Mm-hmm. So is that like dipping, like?
Yeah, I mean, this is controversial. I think it's a version of dipping that is not bad for you in any way.
Okay, you heard it here first.
That's, yeah, if there are any kids listening, it's totally fine.
I do not endorse that message, but also I'm open to hearing it.
Me and the whole Betches team would like to say that.
There's one thing you're going to do today. Light up a cigarette. We're joking. So it's just nicotine. Does it help you focus? Is it calming?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just a little boost of energy. Mm. It feels like coffee, or like if I need a little, I don't do it all the time, but if I want to get a little extra focus, like I'll do it before I go on stage. Or before I, like if I'm at a party and I'm going to talk to someone that I'm not interested in, I will put one in.
100%.
And then I'll be so, it's like cocaine where it's like, it'll make you so interested in whoever you're talking to. And I don't mean that for this interaction at all.
No, not at all. I'm always interested in things that like give you a little boost.
Yeah.
I love a little boost that within the bounds of like pretty much legal.
Totally.
You know, like, cause I don't drink or do anything like that. But then so I love other types of I love anything that's like going to enhance cognition. Like I buy a lot of powders.
Oh, wait, what kind of powders are you working with?
Oh, anything that's like, improve your cognitive ability, which then I'm spending like hundreds of dollars on these powders that are supposed to make you smarter. But of course, that's easy for them to market towards like idiots that want to become smarter and be like, buy this powder for $100 and they're going to know I'm not going to read the ingredient. I don't know what they are.
No, totally.
But I'm supposed to get smarter from it. Like I'm sitting under red light therapy to eating powders, like drinking potions because I'm like, I'm going to get smarter any day now.
Wait, is there anything that you've done that you feel like has made like a noticeable immediate difference?
There's one thing. Okay, it's this nasal spray called C-Max and then this other nasal spray called Nuopept, and I was like pretty convinced it was making me sharper, and also wearing a sleep mask at night that improved my REM sleep I think has made a big difference.
Wow, I gotta try that. C-Max?
C-Max, yeah, but here's the thing. I also do these, I never do any controlled experimenting. Like the totally. Same time I take C-Max, I'm also like, ooh, I'm also gonna try playing with like a mega dose of vitamin D, so it's very rarely isolated stuff.
That's such a good point. I do the same exact thing where I just change everything at once, right? And I'm like, I think one of these things is working.
Yeah, it worked. And you're like, which one? You're like, oh, all of it. I moved, I changed jobs, I did all this. How long have you been in your relationship?
Oh, it's been approaching a year.
Nice.
Approaching 1 year.
Congrats.
Thank you so much.
Big milestone. Do you guys live together?
We do live together. This is my first time living with anyone, and we moved in together very quickly.
How quick?
I think it had maybe official, like of us officially dating, maybe 2 months.
Wow.
I know.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
How did this come about? No judgments.
No, totally. Well, I had been out of town for a long time and her lease ran up. And so my apartment was empty and I was like, oh, we'll just go stay in my place. And then I got back a month later and I was like, well, this kind of feels like your place now. You shouldn't leave. And then one day became 2 days and now it's been several months.
And she just moved all of her stuff in when?
No, I think most of her stuff is in storage.
Nice.
So it's I think it's probably not great for her, but she's totally fine with it, I think.
That is a... Also, I've noticed in New York, people do move in quicker because there's so many like things, logistical things with apartments.
Yeah.
But living with someone is... That is a big... I mean, I've been learning a lot about like things that are roommate problems versus relationship problems.
Oh, do you live with your partner?
I live with my girlfriend, and I've lived with two other girlfriends. One of them was... That was like a very like haphazard, like... She was just going to stay with me while she was looking for an apartment, and then she didn't move out. So it was almost more of a squatter situation. And then the other one was just like also like a real botched job of moving in. So this is the first time where we were together like a year and a half, move in. And it's also where I've learned like, okay, certain things, like, you know, I'm really working on the dishwasher stuff.
Oh, in what sense?
Well, I always fuck it up. I mean, it's never not fucked up. And like leaving drawer, like I have really bad ADD, so like I'll open a drawer, leave it open. Mm-hmm. I don't mean anything by it.
Totally.
I just get something, and then I walk away. And this is a reoccurring theme. So that's not like a relationship problem, but it becomes one when you keep.
Yeah.
Are you guys coexisting very smoothly?
Well, we are, and I'm curious how it is with your girlfriend, because I am the one who's neat and like is kind of obsessed
That's
with
great.
Keeping up. But so I think it is like the conflict is kind of in my control. So like I consciously don't bring things up. Like if I see something left out that I'd prefer not to have left out, I'll just move it and it's fine.
She does that like 100% of the time.
Yeah.
But then if I like so say taking out the trash, that's my job. Mm-hmm. Every time I take it out, I like make an announcement. And I've noticed that's where it started to like ping her. Cause I'd be like, I'm taking out the trash. Cause that's my thing. Doing it before I was asked. Here we go. And then like once a month, she'll be like, okay, that is frustrating that you do that because I do all of these things and I never mention it. And I'm like, well, you could. And she's like, but then I'd never stop because I'm always picking up after you. And I'm like, oof, I hear you.
Yeah.
And then the dishwasher one is like a big one. Cause I've like fucked up some knives and stuff.
Wait, are you pushing the wrong buttons on the dishwasher?
Oh, I don't even touch the buttons.
Oh,
that would be, I mean, no way.
You're not getting into settings.
No, 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 no. No way. Because I had it at an apartment where I did that and it got all fucked up.
Oh, wow.
I think there was like an iguana living in there at one point. Yeah. It was all fucked up.
Totally.
It was bad. But I put it in. I do it all wrong. Like I do things upside down. I put them in cramped. Only put one thing in there. Stuff like that.
Yeah. There's a lot of rules with the dishwasher. It's difficult.
All these logistics. They should make one for dummies where it's just like, it's like sections, like forks. Not, I guess they kind of do, but like really, really color coded.
Yeah, like the Barbie Dream Kitchen or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
They could market it towards people who, it could be like for people if they have like cognitive problems, like had a stroke or something, but then it could also be also for, you know, developmentally delayed adults potentially.
Totally.
And then they could have my picture on it.
Yeah.
And that I would love to be a spokesperson for that.
That's, yeah, I feel like we avoid a lot of problems because I genuinely, like, I enjoy those kinds of chores. Like, I love washing. So I'll always wash the dishes, I'll always cook, and I'll always
What?
Because I like doing it. It's nice and, like, I find it meditative. But my thing is I don't like people talking to me while I'm doing it. So that's...
Fair.
That's our only conflict is, like, I'll be washing the dishes, and I'll be like, I'd prefer to just kind of be in my head right now.
Wow, that is such an attractive feature for someone to be like, it's meditative for me.
Yeah, it's so nice.
That's, man, if I had heard that as something when I was single, I would have like started saying that to people. It would totally. Be a real lie. But I'd be like, oh, how do I calm myself down? Like, I have to do dishes. I have to clean up. Just got to do my chores. Keeps me.
That might be what I'm doing right now.
That you're actually doing it is like, that is.
Maybe.
That's huge. I used to lie and say I liked giving back massages. And I wasn't that big a dirtbag, but I'd be like, oh, giving massages relaxes me. And then like people be like, I want a massage. And then I would give them a little massage.
Yeah, you're just a masseuse now?
Just, yeah, so gross. and just, I'm busy on the go and don't always have time to go to the grocery store and pick out what I'm going to eat for the week. Thankfully, I found ButcherBox. They take the guesswork out of shopping and cooking with a great selection of fish, chicken, beef, and more. And their cuts of meat are always way better than anything I would find in the grocery store. I love their chicken thighs. Best chicken thighs I've ever had. I swear on my mom. With ButcherBox, you can easily find high-quality meat and seafood you can trust. I can get 100% grass-fed, beef, free-range, organic chicken, and wild-caught seafood delivered straight to my doorstep. I don't even have to mess with going to the store. Plus, they have free shipping always. And because this is really important to me, with ButcherBox, all the meat is humanely raised. That means no antibiotics or added hormones. You can curate and customize what you want in each box, and if you're feeling uninspired in the kitchen, they have an entire catalog of delicious recipes to get you started. All I have to think about is what I'm going to binge watch on TV while I enjoyed ButcherBox's high quality cuts. Sign up at butcherbox.com/AMA and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. Choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/AMA and use code AMA to choose your free for a year offer. Plus, get $20 off your first order.
When it comes to the plant-based eating debate, there's more to consider than just healthy or unhealthy. Of course, we want to eat things that make us feel good and generate energy to keep us going, but there's also a major environmental component that drives a lot of people to a plant-focused diet. But you don't have to give up some of your faves entirely. Impossible Foods makes meat from plants. They're solving the meat problem with more meat. By creating delicious meat from plants that's better for you and the planet, Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, homestyle meatballs, sausage patties, all made from plants. And that's just a few of their delicious and versatile options. No more tension between craving meat but not wanting to eat so much of it, or sacrificing your carnivorous faves for your health. Indulge in nutrient-packed, plant-based goodness and feel good doing it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Before we get to our listener email, it's just some basic context questions about the concept of masculinity. So the first question is, in your opinion, how has the concept of masculinity in general changed from when you were a kid to now?
I think, and this is not all encompassing in any way, but what I've noticed is that I think there are a lot of little aesthetic things that have changed, but the spirit of masculinity is still behind them. So like, for example, and this might be a controversial one, I think it's straight guys who paint their nails.
Someone else said that. I have not seen this.
Oh, Emma, it's out there.
I have not seen it.
Oh, my God.
Am I just missing it?
Maybe, yeah. It's just like, and the guys, they act exactly the same, but I think they think because their nails are different colors, they're like, well, I'm different. I'm not like the other guys. It's the painted nails, and then I've noticed some guys are starting to wear pearl necklaces.
What?
It's the crazy.
So interesting. Which, good for them. Their pearl necklaces are really beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely can be, but these guys aren't—they're not pearl connoisseurs, you know. They're not picking good necklaces.
Are they doing? Who's like spearheading this?
I think it all comes from Harry Styles.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's really cool.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I gotta say, he's really cool. Like,
he's
the way
great.
He moves, he's cool.
Well, that's the thing, is he's such a beautiful man.
Yeah, he is.
That he's doing all these things, and then regular looking guys are like, I can also do that. And it's like, he's just hot. He's a hot guy.
He could be like in a snow, he could do anything.
He totally could.
He's so cool. Like the way he moves and sings, and like, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that I could see that being people then copy. I mean, I guess that's how a lot of fashion trends are, though. We like see someone who can,
totally.
You know, they sell it and like, I want to look like that. And then, you know, the average person wears it and it's not the same effect exactly.
Oh, it's very different.
Are they real pearls?
Not that I've seen. I haven't seen any guys with the real pearls.
They're just... Do they fit well? Is it like...
No, it just looks bad. Huh. And they're still like... It's the worst kind of guy. It's like these really... It's the kind of guy who, like, when they try to be funny, they just talk a little bit louder.
This is exactly... So just so you know, this is exactly what someone else noticed. So you should feel good. You're both co-signing exactly.
Wait,
that.
I'm so
That's
happy
so
about
interesting.
This. Yeah. And it's, so it's like... These guys are annoying, and then they put on the pearl necklace, and it's like, okay, now you're annoying and you look bad. Like, it's not a fucking improvement. I feel very strongly about this.
I'm going to start looking out for that.
Keep an eye out. They're
Is it
around.
Almost like they're doing it in a way to, like, try to, like, then not have to do other work on themselves? So they're like, look, I'm an ally, but, like, what, it's performative? Is that it?
I think on some level, maybe subconsciously, I think these types of people would never even consider acting differently.
Wow.
I think they're totally, they're like Sims. They're just not conscious.
Damn. And you've seen this in person or just on the internet?
I've seen it in person recently. I've seen it in person in a way where if someone I'm talking about hears this podcast, they'll know I'm talking about them. That's how recent it was.
Oh, shit. That's, like, is it someone you know?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Ooh.
And also, the last time I saw him, he was wearing the pearl necklace, and we said hi to each other, and I kind of laughed a little bit just, like, reflexively, and I was like, fuck, he knows I'm laughing at the pearls. But it's like, don't fucking dress like that. You're going to get laughed at.
I'm going to start looking out for this, because I haven't seen any with the nail polish. I haven't seen that at all.
Oh, yeah.
What's your most feminine trait that you like about yourself?
Oh, that's interesting. It's funny, because there are so many, because I went to a high school that was, like, there were no sports in the high school. The high school.
You went to a religious school, right?
An art school.
An art school. Okay, because I was basing that off of one of your stand-up clips.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to a religious school for like K through 8th grade.
K through 8th, got
and
it.
And then I went to an arts high school, so it was like mostly women and gay guys, no sports. And then I went to NYU, which is also mostly women, no sports.
Right.
And so
Is there really no sports at NYU?
I think there in some corner of the school it might be happening.
Right. For fun, like so it's not, there's no like NYU football team.
No. In the same at my high school, we had no field, we had nothing. All of our PE classes were dance classes and one taekwondo class.
How did you go from a religious school to there?
It was because of the religious school. I was like, I have to do something different. I was wearing like a uniform every day and I was like, this is killing me.
What was the religion?
It was, I think, Episcopalian. So, and like a gentle one.
That is a gentler as far as they, but still a religious school. So then it's like fall in line with this.
Totally.
Were your parents Episcopalian or they just wanted you to go there?
No, they just wanted me to go there. And it's funny because I got really into the religious part of it and they weren't religious. So it's like.
I was curious about that and I was curious if that was true. Because in your joke that you have about it. So I didn't. So you actually were like, you were like feeling the spirit.
I was really feeling it.
Wow.
And I've recently started to feel it again a little bit.
I'm right there with you.
Wait, real? Oh my God. We are on the same like wavelength, 100%. I feel like.
I am definitely like very, but my parents are not like religious at all. So it's like something like I've just looking for something bigger than myself helps me be healthier and more present.
Are you looking at like Bible stuff or like?
Well, you know, in New York, I feel like you have to be very, I'm just looking around.
We can go off the mics for this part.
I am not reading Bible stuff, but I did take a class on the Bible, isn't my like fancy way of saying I went to church one time. Like I did take a class in college on the Bible, but I'll read little excerpts or I'll get like little prayers and stuff. Yeah. And it really does just like help center my mind. And I like the idea of like turning things over and like following something bigger than me.
Yeah.
That is a good.
No, totally. It really, like, you see why it's effective and so many people are into it.
For sure.
Totally.
But it is, like, I know, I've talked about it with, like, my mom had cancer and she went through chemo and she's okay now, but I remember when she was going through chemo, I was like, have you ever thought about, like, praying to something bigger than yourself during this time? And she went, oh my God, I went to Berkeley. And I was like, what? And she was like, it was an NPR. And I was like, these things aren't mutually exclusive. And she was Emma. She's like, of course No. Like, it was kind of like I was proposing something like stupid almost. Like,
no,
it was just
totally.
Like, gross. But also we're from a different time than our parents. So maybe the way they saw it was very like locked into an ideology that didn't promote critical thinking, I guess.
That's so interesting.
It could be. And that's like broad strokes, of course. But
wait, that's so cool. I'm so interested in that generation of like the Berkeley group. Like, it's such a fascinating.
Totally.
So she must have been there. Was she there in like the 60s and 70s?
Yeah.
That's remember so cool.
Remember that movie Blow? Remember this with Johnny Depp?
No.
It's all about cocaine in that 60s, 70s time frame. Mm-hmm. And at the very beginning of it, like where it's like connotating like the height of drug use, it's like Berkeley, California, like 1969. And I was watching it with my sister and we were like, Mom was in Berkeley, California. We're like, this makes so much sense.
That's so cool.
Not that she was doing stuff like that necessarily, but, you know, very like free love.
Yeah. Oh,
kind of so counterculture to, but so you got really into into your religious school.
Oh yeah. I felt like I had a personal relationship with God. And I think my parents were like weirded out because they weren't into it. And
they sent you there.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, what did you think was going to happen?
Right.
It's not, yeah.
And then at a certain point you're like, this is restricting me. So I want to go to a art school.
Yeah, I think it felt like it felt so entrenched in the school.
Yes.
And I think at that age you're like, anything that's a part of like the institution that I go to is not inherently interesting. And so I think I was just bored by it.
Totally.
And now I've recently become fascinated by it again.
It's the pendulums of all this stuff too. It's like, of course, like when we get stuck in one thing or have one thing all around us, then we're gonna start like wanting something else. And it's so hard to find like places where like all those things are accessible in little bits.
Totally.
So it's like we gotta go to one harder, which is like, I see there was someone that was talking about like a movement online of people who traditional values movement. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can see how like the pendulum has swung where it's like, people are just like, I'm sick of all this thinking and responsibility. Like, I just want to, you know, do my interpretation of not having to do work, which would be in this sense, the movement is saying, I just want to be a traditional housewife.
Yeah.
Little do they know, I'm pretty sure that's a huge amount of work.
No, totally.
Huge. Like, from what I have observed.
I mean, as someone who loves washing dishes, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's a lot. As someone who's fucking it up so someone else has to do it, it's a lot of work.
No, totally. I mean, it's totally the thing of like, I feel the same way about the traditional values movement where it's like, so many people will shit on it and be like, what are these people doing? But it's like, if you don't, any movement where enough people are doing it, if you don't understand it, then you're missing something because there's something there.
Right. There's something there. And it's like, if you like write it off as being like, those are idiots, which I get that too.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, like it's most likely coming from someone being scared, tired, frustrated, or just looking for a break in the best sense. And then there's maybe a tiny subset that's like, just like inherently mean, but that's like, I think that's very small.
Totally.
Very small.
Yeah.
We have a segment now called Why Do Men? Dear Emma and Man. And today's man is Mas Percone. Make sure to check him out online.
Oh, thank you.
Dear Emma and Man, why do men, this is it from a listener, thank you so much for writing in, why do men only respond to one part of a long text and ignore the rest? Do I really need to ask one thing at a time and wait for him to reply before moving on to the next point? Sincerely, keeping it brief.
That's so funny. Well, I mean,
is really funny.
I feel like, I don't know how you feel about this, I feel like men, or a certain type of man, text in a crazy way.
Yeah, why is that? So I've noticed that more with, in relation to, because the guys I would be texting now would be people I'd be friends with, so it's more likely that we would have like a understanding of how, I know how they would already talk.
Yeah.
But with my dad, it's really insane.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely, he doesn't talk the way he's, his profile is 76-year-old math professor at a maritime academy.
Well, you have the coolest parents ever.
He's pretty cool. When he texts, he'll be like, I remember where I really was like, what? He texted, it was something about John Kerry, and he wrote, yeah, my ass, money sign, money sign, money sign.
Oh, interesting.
And I said, excuse me? And that's his texting style, where it's like very blunt with like weird shorthand.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily know what he's responding to or if he's upset. Like, it's weird.
No, totally. It does feel like texting certain guys feels like an administrative thing. I'm like, why are you talking like you're my landlord?
Totally.
Like, it's so strange.
It is. And then I guess I think if someone is just responding to one part of the text, I would say that's just categorically rude of them. Yeah. So I hope if this is happening with like everyone you're texting, maybe it is a processing thing. Mm-hmm. But normally I would say it means someone's not fully reading the text. Or do you think they're not meaning anything by it and it's just like a cognition thing?
I think it's totally a cognition thing.
You don't think they're trying to be rude?
I don't think so. I mean, it depends. If it's the kind of guy who texts with like a period at the end of every short sentence, I think that's just the dude and that's how he texts.
So if I was like, hey, how was your day? I just got lunch. Like, oh man, something, something, something. And then you were like, I like lunch.
Well, I mean, that person's got a lot going on, I think.
Or if they were just like, if you ask them two questions and then they just responded to one, because I would think if you're really interested in the person, you want to give them something to work with. Be like, oh, nice. Like, happy to hear it. Like, lunch is great. Like, just ate something myself. Like, what are you up to for dinner?
Yeah. No, I think it's, well, this is how I feel is like people, like texting styles, I try not to read into in terms of like intent.
Mm.
Just at least for me, because I'm like, well, that's not how I communicate anything. Like, I would never communicate something in the style that I was texting, I think.
Interesting, because I really look into text communication style.
Oh, really?
Yeah, especially if you're just meeting someone, where like, I'll be like, you know, God forbid someone writes okay, period.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be like, well, fuck you and your mom.
No, totally.
Okay. I'd block their, I'd hide
no,
them.
No, total, unsubscribe.
I'd unsubscribe, throw out my phone, like, go to church. So I'll look into that, especially with like when you first start texting.
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely says something about how that person communicates, but I would try not to read into like, this is what they're trying to communicate.
Yes, and if someone's just responding, I would say give it a whirl. Try to, if you send a long text and they ignore, because you know what? Maybe they aren't ignoring it. Maybe they just aren't someone who responds to that stuff in text. Like, I try to like, maybe if you give them the benefit of the doubt, pick up on in person, do they reference any of it? Like, do you think that they just don't read it? Or do you think they just don't keep the conversation going on text?
Oh, yeah, interesting. I'd be curious how that person is in person.
Right, because like, sometimes you'll think someone's like totally, they've like missed something, and then they'll like bring it up and you're like, oh, they were paying attention.
Yeah.
Which is always like a nice
thing. Totally.
But if someone is just not, I personally, that would be, I would see if you really like the person, give them the benefit of the doubt, ask a question, wait, and then do it that way. If not, I'd say they're on thin ice.
Absolutely. I also feel like with someone like that, if they're communicating badly, and maybe this is the wrong way to go about it, I'll just start communicating badly. I'll be like, these are the rules we're setting, and then I'll be way fucking worse.
Right.
I'm like, if you think you're a bad communicator, I can go so fucking hard.
You just start writing in a language they don't speak.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like, I'll learn a new language just to do that.
Start doing it in Braille.
Yeah.
I wonder if, I think too, like with text messaging, you know, if you're going to give someone the benefit of the doubt, and they're because they could also just not be a good texter.
Yeah.
Like, I know people that are like, oh, I just don't text back quickly.
Totally.
If you text me something, most likely I'll heart it and I'll respond. But that's a weird precedent too, because then you don't want someone to think they have to heart your thing and you heart their thing.
Yeah, it starts
that's
the whole
just
thing.
Because then it's like when it stops, you're like, oh, we were exclamation points and now there's none. What does this mean?
Yeah.
Very neurotic.
I mean, this might be crazy. I'll go so far as to, like, if somebody takes a really long time to respond, I will set a timer for that amount of time and I'll respond after that amount of time. Is that crazy?
Baby.
That might be crazy.
Let's play the fucking game. I love that. That when you're just like, okay, fine. That's only with dating or with friends too?
Oh, with anybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I would only do with friends. I don't think I would do that.
Really?
No, with friends, I'm kind of like, whatever. I don't know. I'll just kind of assume something that I can't imagine. But like maybe with dating, I would have done that for sure.
Yeah.
Or if it was someone I didn't like and I had to text them for whatever reason.
Totally. Give it a try.
Give them a try. Yeah, see.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. What I love about Shopify is basically how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. I know we use Shopify here at Betches, and honestly, anyone with any kind of business could really benefit from Shopify. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/betches, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/betches now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/betches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now we have a segment called Ask Moss Anything. How do you handle conflict?
Oh, I'm trying to be better about it because I mean, like a lot of people, I just kind of avoid it.
For sure.
I have a mindset of like, and again, I think this is not the right way to go about this and I should change. But like,
you know what? Shining a light on it and getting it out there, that's the first step.
And here we go.
Here we go.
I feel very much like I will always just remove myself from a situation. Mm. That is my aggressive move. I'll never like try to heighten or like intensify the conflict. I'll be like, okay, well, your punishment is that you don't get to talk to me.
My sister's like that, and it is powerful.
Yeah. I have no problem just vanishing.
That gets stuff done.
Totally.
And it also makes the people around you then scramble.
Yeah.
Because we're like, especially if they don't want to stop communicating with you, mm-hmm. then it becomes, wait. Like,
yeah.
You know, we want to avoid that.
Totally. And I'll go so far as to like, and again, this is wrong, but I do not believe in telling somebody that you're upset with them, because then I'm like, if I'm upset with you, doing that would help you out a little bit, and I'm not in the mood to help you out, so I'm just not going to say anything. But here's the thing is I can't hold a grudge, so it'll usually just go away, and then it'll seem like we never had conflict.
That's a kind of a nice caveat to it, because you're not like then totally writing the person, but it doesn't come up at some other point.
I mean, if it did, I would oftentimes just be like, there's no conflict, I don't know what you're talking about.
Where do you think you learned that from, parents?
Oh, maybe. It might also just be the easy way out. It's like the easy thing to do.
I personally do not like conflict. I mean, I guess no one like likes conflict, but yeah. I know like my girlfriend would be like, I'd rather work through it now than not. Like, because she's always like trying to get to the truth of the moment.
Oh, yeah. That's so interesting.
Yeah, the heat is on. Because that's, for me, not my natural state.
Yeah. And I also kind of believe that conflict people think conflict resolves things. I don't think it does. I think it just creates a weird feeling. I think if both people can be quiet for a little bit and let it go away, it's kind of better.
I'm down to try that in my own house for sure.
I'm ruining your life. I'm like, you got to do nicotine and you got to stop talking to your girlfriend.
Just in the apartment smoking cigarettes and quietly in a corner staring the other way. When you're introducing a girlfriend to your family for the first time, what do you tell them ahead of time to prepare them?
My girlfriend or my family?
Ooh, both.
I mean, I'm lucky in that both of my parents are like cool and like good to talk to.
That's great.
And so there's not much prep that needs to be done.
That's incredible.
They're great. I'm honestly like always, I'm never nervous in that situation. I'm always
excited. That's one in a billion.
No,
you don't
totally
have to give your parents any like a buffer for your parents. That's big.
Yeah, completely. No, they're great. Yeah. I really, it's such a boring answer, but I'm like, yeah, honestly, no prep at all. I'm, yeah.
I mean, I'm happy for you.
No, thank you so much. What about you? What do you?
Now, I used to not give a heads up. So now for my dad, it's just like very basic. Like I'll be like, okay, he's great. He's not a big talker. Mm-hmm. Also, in the past couple years, his retina has become detached from the eye. We don't talk about it. He does not like to talk about it at all. If my stepmom has a little bit of wine, I'll bring it up with her and she's like, oh, he won't talk about it. But his eye is basically loop-de-looping. Like it's not only when he gets tired, but I'll be like, so one of his eyes not gonna be focused on your face, first of all. Now, he's also losing hearing in one of the ears. Sometimes that's a little finicky. And then the third thing is, and this is a big one, he's a vegetarian, so he's a vegetarian. We all call him a vegetarian. He's always been a vegetarian since he was a kid, but he eats chicken and fish. Mm. So if he says he's a vegetarian and you see him eating fish, don't bring up pescatarian. Don't say, I thought you were a vegetarian. And he goes, I am a vegetarian, but I eat chicken and fish. So just, for the love of God, don't say he's not a vegetarian. It's just how it is.
Totally.
Those are the ones.
Those are great. Those are great ones.
You have to, because like it just will not go well if someone... He'll pretend he doesn't hear you probably if you were like, oh, you eat chicken. Like, I thought you were vegetarian. I eat chicken too. Other than that, I'm vegetarian. He'd go, I am a vegetarian. Then I'd be like, please, please, please go with him on that.
Wait, that's such a good specific one. That's great.
So specific. And then with my mom, I go, look, she's really particular. She's wonderful. She can come across as a little cold.
Mm. Oh, that's also really good.
But it's needed. I used to not. And then now I'm like, it's needed. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, usually if I give the heads up, his eye's working great. And then my mom's not being cold at all. So it's like, okay, sorry about that.
No,
do you
totally
give your parents a heads up about like if you're introducing them to a girlfriend?
No, never. I mean, at that point when it's happening, it's like, I'm sure I've talked about her so much that it's like they kind of know what the deal is.
And they're just wanting you to be happy. So they're like, your choice is your choice. And we're into that.
Yeah, totally. I think they really want someone that they can like they're both cool, funny people. So I think they want someone that they can like talk and like vibe with.
That's awesome.
They would not like a silent girlfriend.
Right.
But that's never been an issue. Like, they're always great.
That's what I feel like you want your parents to want, just like someone that they can talk to too.
Totally.
Because that's like something someone can control and it shows interest and manners.
Yeah.
Manners are huge. Like my sister had this boyfriend, I remember in high school, and he would always wait for her in the driveway and he wouldn't come in and say hi. Oh. And my mom pointed it out because she was like, he should come in and say hi. Like, you're not leaving. He's going to come in and say hi. And then I started being like, yeah, he's going to come in and say hi. And I remember hating that guy.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Stayed with me. This is like 30 years ago at this point.
No, that's the main thing is like, you gotta be sociable you can't be quiet or like kind of disinterested with your partner's
parents. Just the slightest, hey, nice to meet. I mean, I also even like, yes, sir, no, ma'am. I think that's nice.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And then they'll go, like my mom, if you said, oh, nice to meet you, like Mrs. Sheever or something. She'd be like, please, Moss, please, it's Susan. Oh, my God. But yeah. I'd be like, that's a nice touch.
You got to do it.
You got to do it.
Whenever someone's like, don't call my parents Mr. and Mrs., I'm like, I'm going to do it once.
Yes.
And I'm going to let them tell me. And then I'll probably keep doing it, honestly.
Right. Just so they know that I know.
Yeah.
What was the last rom-com you watched?
Oh, I've actually been watching a ton. Because I for years, I've been trying to crack like writing a really good one. And I've written a bunch of them, and I love the genre. I think it's great. I think it's done so poorly so often and kind of gets underrated because of that.
Why is that, do you think? Do you think they just like focus too much on, do you think it's just like they're trying to like generalize it too much, or what do you think it is that make?
I think it comes down to like a lot of movie comedies in the last like 10 or so years aren't funny.
Mm.
And I think that just goes back to I think a lot of writers aren't funny. And I've seen that working not to everyone's great, but I've seen that working in TV rooms where it's like, yeah, you know, a lot of people aren't funny. And that's fine. That's totally fine.
I always say that before I like say something like broad. I'm like, no, I think everyone's great and everyone should have health insurance. Yeah. Ultimately, everyone's a fucking moron. No, totally. They don't know how to work. They don't put in the time. Yeah,
absolutely. But I think going back to like the rom-coms of like the 40s and the 50s, it's like, these are way funnier than any rom-coms in the last 10 years. They hold up. I think everyone should go back and watch them. They hold up so well.
Which ones?
Oh, my. There's a great one called Palm Beach Story.
Nice.
It's genuinely so funny. I think it's from the 40s. And it's just like, they were playing it at a theater recently, a packed theater. And it was like, it just played so well. It destroyed.
Really?
Yeah.
And it was just like, it didn't feel like dated or anything. It just felt like a classic love story.
Yeah. It just like really worked. They hit all the beats perfectly. That's what I think a lot of people do now is they kind of, actually me and my girlfriend talk about this a bunch where it's like, she calls it like a kind of rubric writing where it's like, okay, you're hitting all the beats you need to, but you're just hitting them and like, you're checking the box. Like,
there's no heart.
There's no heart. And like people understand how they are supposed to feel in this moment, but they don't feel it.
Yes.
And when you see one where you really feel those beats, it's like, this is the most magical thing in the world.
It makes you forget that you're watching a rom-com. It just feels like you're a part of something special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's the perfect genre where it's like, it's funny. It's like romantic. It's beautiful. Like When Harry Met Sally is like, you put that movie on, anyone's going to have the best time of their life.
That I felt that I'll feel that way about like action movies now. I'm like, okay, they're highlighting this person was wrong. Now they've got to seek revenge, but I don't feel it.
Yeah.
Or even with a lot of comedy specials too. I'll be like, I feel like I'm watching a comedy special and I don't want to feel that. I just want to feel like I'm having a good time.
Yeah, totally. You're like, okay, the joke structure is technically a joke, right? But it's not funny. There's
I
no
see
humor
what you're doing here.
It.
Yeah. I hope you write a really beautiful love story.
Oh, thank you. I'm trying so hard. I actually just rewatched She's the Man. The Amanda Bynes movie.
Oh yeah,
there are parts of it that are incredibly dated, just in the music and the editing. But it is so funny.
That movie was huge.
Yeah, it's really like those like early 2000s crowd pleasers. They work.
That movie was huge, and it had like a big underground. Like there was a lot. Or I don't know if it was underground, but I've heard a lot of like queer people mention that was a very formative movie for them.
Interesting.
Because she goes undercover as a boy.
Yeah.
And that's like the story. So it's like. People I've seen her, I've had like quite a few queer people be like, oh, that was the first time I was like seeing, I didn't know it at the time, but like seeing someone play with gender.
Totally. And it's so like there's so much sexual tension between everyone in the movie, and you really feel it. And also young Channing Tatum is just such a, you're like, this guy's gonna have a huge career.
Love
He's
him.
Such a star.
I'm such a fan of him.
And Amanda Bynes is just like so funny. She is giving an unhinged performance in that movie.
Do you know about her recently?
I've heard a little bit. It seems not amazing.
Yeah, be careful if you do. If you wanna like have a, you know, do a self-care moment and then go and check it out, it's a sad tale.
Oh, that's horrible. Because she's such a comedic talent.
She is good.
Yeah.
And she had like a podcast, but then I used to follow her on Instagram, but I muted her because I couldn't handle it.
Oh, totally.
Too sad.
Yeah. Oh, it's so sad because she really could have been like a Jack Black, Jim Carrey style, just like amazing physical comedian.
I hope she pulls it around.
I really do too.
Sending good energy to Amanda Bynes. Do you have any unusual self-care rituals?
I used to. I was on a 2 ice cream a day regimen for a little while, and I've stopped. Because I live in Park Slope, and I'm surrounded by the best ice cream places
they
in the world.
They do have really good, and I used to live out there, too. They have all this, like, artisanal, any ice cream tastes so good, but then they, like, kick it up a notch with artisanal ice cream.
Yeah. Especially when it's seasonal, and I'm like, well, I gotta check that. I gotta see when, I'll stop by, like, it's a record shop, where I'm like, I gotta see what they're doing right now. I gotta see
twice a day.
I was doing twice a day, because I would have my afternoon one, and then I would have my evening one. Because also I like to walk a lot, and so I'm passing them. I'm like, well, I'm going to get a cone.
And it wasn't depressing. It was just fun.
No, it was just great.
Wow.
I should get back into it, honestly.
I would have to be so balanced emotionally to be able to have 2 ice creams a day and then not have myself to keep it to that. Because I would be so intoxicated by the ice. Like keeping it to 2 a day, if I knew I was going to do that, I think I'd want to eat like 15 like in a dumpster under a bridge.
Oh, totally.
Sweets make me get dark because I just want more.
Well, I've been feeling that now that I don't do it, I try not to have any sweets. And when I do, I feel like that. But when I was in the regimen of it, it's weird to call it a regimen. But when I was in that, I was like really, it felt just like part of the day.
That's a good part of the day.
It was really good. And there's nothing more joyful than like on a sunny day, walking around with an ice cream cone, nothing can hurt you.
And also it's like, I've made coffees before that might as well be ice cream. Like it's like I'm putting like honey or sugar in it or whatever. And if you know you're going to get it.
Totally.
Then you can, do you remember the best ice cream you had?
Oh, I mean, there's a place by my apartment called Terre. It's one of the best Italian food places I've ever had. And they have a gelato stand. And it's just like, it's so good that I would take people there all the time.
Yes.
Like, you need to see for yourself that this is something special.
Damn.
It's so good.
I love gelato.
It's, oh my God.
Do you have a self-care thing that you do now?
I've really been living a Spartan lifestyle. I just eat a lot of plain cottage cheese now.
I do that too.
Yeah. But it's good.
It's good. It's a good way to get protein. Yeah. It's easy.
It's great.
Is it a self-care or is it because you don't want to cook?
I love to cook. That's another self-care.
Oh, that's great.
And then I'm trying to think. I like to spend time alone. I feel like that's very helpful. And I used to go on long trips by myself, and I still do that quite a bit.
That's awesome.
A good self-care thing. It's like I would book tickets the day of if I was feeling kind of down. And
that's
then I would
awesome.
Leave that night and just kind of stay as long as I felt like I needed to. And that was really good. I recommend that.
I love traveling by myself and I love being by myself too.
It's so nice.
Yeah. It's really freeing too.
Yeah.
And you're not feeling like, oh, should I be, is this weird? Whatever. I love doing that.
I love it. If I can go a week without talking to anybody, I feel so good.
How's your girlfriend feel about that?
Actually, like, fine.
Great.
I think maybe in other relationships, it was definitely odd it does sound weird for her to tell her friends like, yeah, my boyfriend's just gone for 3 weeks. And they're like, why? And they're like, no reason. He's just gone.
He's got to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. 3 weeks is a while, but you know what? Whatever.
No, totally.
If you can swing it, great.
Yeah.
And then you'll have more stuff to say when you get back. You'll be excited
absolutely.
To see each other.
And that's the situation I'm in right now is I cannot swing it. I spent all of my money and now I can't do it anymore.
That is the kink.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kink. Do men put women in different categories from the first date, like dating versus hookup versus wife?
I've definitely heard of specific people doing that. The Pearlsman.
The Pearlsman
does it. No,
the Pearlsman.
People are so fucking weird about this. Just hearing stories from my girlfriend, it's like, it's crazy the things that some people will say about like I think I've heard of people explicitly being like my girlfriend has a funny joke about this in her stand-up of some guy saying like, you're not wife material. And I'm like, that's fucking crazy.
Why did he say that?
I think this guy specifically is just crazy. I think he's just a crazy guy.
Because also it's like, how dare you assume I would even be interested in another date with you?
No, totally.
And what would constitute wife material? I mean, I know about the like Madonna complex where it's like you think that you can't have sex with your wife in a certain way. I've had to unlearn that a little bit because it's like it can be like if you don't want to do quote unquote like more hardcore sex stuff with your long term partner.
Mm.
Like it's been a thing where it's like I'll be like, you know, like my angel, my baby, my sweet love, saying that to my girlfriend. And then she'll be like, I'm a whore. And I'll be like, my baby. And then it's like, usually in the past, oh yeah, fucking whore, come slut, whatever, like this. But then, I don't know, now it feels, or like I used to always smack someone, hit them, great, 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 no problems. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't even imagine spitting on my girlfriend. I mean, I'd spit on her body, but in her face.
No, totally. Especially when you're living together. It's like, this is also my roommate.
Exactly. Like, this is going to come back around when I don't do the dishes. Yeah. And it wasn't my idea. But she says, she's like, no, that you have, this is the Madonna horror complex where you don't treat the person like, you know, if someone is into having sex a certain way and then you shift the more you're with them. This has happened before.
I mean, that makes so much sense. It is also easy just like being with someone for a long time to just get into these ruts.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. I forget who, there was a comedian, I think it was in one of Kevin Hart's first specials where he was talking about having sex with his wife. And he's like, you know, you're in a rut when she starts getting into the position before you moved her into it.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Where you're like behind, you're doing something and she's like, okay, now we do this. And then he was like, oh yeah, I was about to flip you into that, but I guess.
Wait, that's so funny.
I guess you know the routine. Damn it. Have you ever had a friendship breakup?
That's such a good question. Not an explicit one. Mm. I've definitely quietly moved out of friendships. And that just goes back to the thing of like, I'd rather just not say anything. I'm just going to vanish. And
Did they try to follow up? Like, hey man, what's going on?
Yeah, I've definitely had that. And I also feel like if you're persistent enough, like, yeah, we'll probably end up being friends again. Just it's hard to hold that up for a long time.
You're like, fine, we're friends. Yeah. Fine, we'll be friends. I was talking about it with my therapist today, actually, because I was like, you know, my friends now are definitely are reflective of like a lot of changes I've made. And I know the people that I talk with the most now, like it would be bad for the friendship if I were to do something like really destructive, because the friendship is built more around positivity where, you know, like and that's the majority of the people I interact with, where in the past, like, say I was like, you know, like I don't drink anymore. Say something, I was like, I just went to, you know, Ohio and sort of Coke for a bunch of weekends or something. Like, that would be like a huge problem. Whereas in the past, the people I would have been friends with have been like, oh, that's crazy.
Oh, interesting.
So now that has, and I'm much more, like, I'm much more attracted to people that are like trying, at least trying to be healthy. You don't have to be healthy. But if you're just like, I want to make, or that want to make forward movement in their lives.
Totally. Yeah.
Of any kind.
100%. It's hard to hang around people who are just kind of like, just stuck in their little ruts.
And I used to be that to a T.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather like bitch and moan and get super like jacked up on coffee and then complain and then like rinse, cycle, repeat. So now, I mean, I definitely have like some like long-term friends where it was never based on that anyway, but the more like, not the right word for it. More casual. I was about to say lower level. The more casual, the more casual friendships that were based off of like more stuff that I just was more into in my 20s, we'll say.
Yeah.
Now that wouldn't be what, I don't think we would be attracted to each other.
No, totally. And there's, I don't know how you feel about this in terms of doing comedy where you see people at night so much that I'm like, I feel like I do lose friendships just because I'm like, I don't want to see people during the day. I know I'm going to have interactions at night and I don't want to like spend time hanging out in the day. I feel like it's a,
my emotional socializing. Although I do find now I will really appreciate like especially the people in my life where like I see them a couple times a year.
Yeah.
Love that.
That's great. When you have something to catch up about, it's so fun.
Oh, that's my favorite.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, now we do a segment called Who, What, Where, When, How.
Cool.
We are already covered Why to Men, so now we're going to cover the rest of the big questions. Okay, so this is more of like a rapid fire one, but who do men want to talk to right after a date?
I was going to say my parents, but I think that's just me.
That's awesome.
That's, but I think probably nobody, I would guess, or other men.
I call my mom. I've talked to my parents after dates.
Yeah.
I'll call my mom and like tell her about it. She's a good person to talk about date stuff with.
Oh, that's good to have.
Yeah, where she'll just be like, okay. I mean, over the years, she'd be like, all right, like take it slow. Like, I don't want to meet anyone until you're serious.
Yeah.
I used to kind of use her as a prop because I'd be like, I'd always, my part of the routine was like, I would kind of like introduce someone to my mom kind of quick just because they'd be like, whoa, your mom's like crazy or you're cute or something.
Totally.
But it was, that was not fair. Or maybe it was trying to create a false sense of closeness.
Oh, that's, I do the same thing. Or like a sense that like, I'm really chill and nothing, nothing matters to me.
Right.
Yeah.
What do men think about right after sex?
Oh, I think it depends. I think if it's like sex early in the relationship, I think they probably are just relieved that it was fine or horrified that it wasn't fine. I think there's a lot of like, thank God that was, everything was good.
Would it be, I feel like if, would it be not fine because like someone came too quick?
Oh, just any reason like that. Mm. Yeah, it's just no chemistry. Like, you know, sometimes with people where you're like, I know we're both probably good at this, but just the two of us together is not gonna,
Because that can also be like, okay, we're just starting out. We don't know how to like what the other one's into. I'm nervous. You're nervous.
Yeah.
But then there can be like, okay, I could see room to grow here.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Because you could be like, okay, maybe this wasn't the best now, but I could see, because it's like if you've got really good open communication with someone, then it's like, oh, chances are we could figure out a way to get this cranking. Oh,
wait, that's so smart. I always just go straight to like, we tried and it wasn't right.
Really?
Yeah.
Because also there's like physical stuff in the beginning. Like you could be nervous and then something doesn't work or whatever the hell.
Yeah. But even like nerves aside, like I feel like there's just a feeling where you're like, like even just when you're talking to someone and your rhythms of conversation are just different. Or when you kiss someone and it's like, oh, we just do this so differently. We speak different languages, and that's fine. And you just got to accept that.
I know exactly what you mean with that.
Yeah.
That, I feel like, I don't know if I ended up having sex with people where it was like, didn't, maybe a few times, but like you sometimes, like if the kissing didn't feel right, then
yeah,
I'd be like, ooh.
No, totally. It can be so heartbreaking because like I had someone where there was just so much buildup. It was like years where we would message each other and then we were both single and like, and then the first time we had sex, it was like, oh no, we were wrong.
Was it like there was no way it could live up to the hype or was it just not there?
It was just so not there. And it might've just been me, but like, I was just like this, this is not, it's tragic, but, and we both it's very tragic. Quickly, it's a real tragedy, but both of us very quickly were like, yeah, we were wrong.
The most chemistry I ever had sexting wise before I met the person was the person I had the least chemistry with in person.
Oh, interesting.
We didn't even have sex. We ended the date early.
Why? You it guys mutually agreed. You're like
the worst, truly the worst date.
Wait, what was,
it was, and also I ran into someone and they were like, oh, we had sex with the same person. I was like, what? And then they said that person's name. I go, oh, not only did that person and I not have sex, we didn't even finish the date.
Right, that's so funny.
And they were like, oh, and I was like, we had a lot of phone sex. We had a lot of sexting. But I was like, we didn't hold hands. We didn't kiss. We didn't, no sex.
Yeah.
I mean, unless someone considers sexting and that could, someone could say, okay, they consider that sex, but I would put that caveat in there.
Totally.
So it was like right away we got into sexting. Like it was like, she said something that I was like, is always like, are we in the kink at all or something, something, something. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, boom, 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 phone sexing, phone, blah, 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 blah. Then we meet in person and she was doing, there's this type of flirting I am just not for me, the negging. You know, maybe I just haven't experienced it in the right way. It's just not my style.
Yeah.
And she was really like doing that, like where they kind of like are mean and then that's supposed to be part of the flirt.
Yeah.
Wasn't for me. And then the date, like, I forget, I was going to have us, I said something about being into Zodiac stuff and she was like, you're an idiot or something. Oh, and I was God. Like,
well, that's just outright hostile.
She's kind of mean.
Yeah.
And it didn't look anything like the pictures, no, but that would have been totally okay. That I probably didn't either, you know, but
totally.
So much sexting chemistry.
Yeah. Oh, it's so heartbreaking when it just doesn't work.
Heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And the voice didn't match the vibe at all.
Yeah, I've had that before where you're like, oh, I feel like it's not a picture thing. It's like the way you talk is different than the way you talk. This is a different person.
And the energy over the phone feels different. That's why you got to try to meet someone quick.
Oh, 100%.
Get in there because otherwise you can imagine this fantastical person because it's built on imagination too.
Yeah. Oh, I had such a similar thing where I had gone on a date with somebody and like I loved the bar. I thought the bar was great. The date was like, it was fun and it was great. And I was like, well, we'll probably be great friends.
But the bar
was so nice. And so I was like, I just kind of ended the date earlier. I was like, I got to go. I have something. And so we both left. And then I walked around the block and came back to the bar just to like have another drink. And like,
please tell me
myself.
She didn't do the same thing.
No, she had walked the wrong way to the subway and came back and saw that I had come back. And I was like, well, I look like the craziest person who ever lived. This looks insane.
Did she say anything?
No, but she saw me. It was rough. It was
that's
rough.
Probably one of the worst dates ever.
It was really bad.
Yeah, that's bad.
And there's no way to explain. Like, I can't. And it wasn't her. It was just like the thing that we created together was not great.
Didn't work. Sure.
It didn't work. And I also just like, I like being in a bar alone.
You love the bar.
I really like the bar.
Yeah. That's the best ad for that bar ever.
Oh, totally.
You know, like you call the date off, but I'm still going to come in and get those pretzels or whatever snacks they have. Where do men learn how to dress better?
Oh, that's such a good question because there are so many ways that they can go wrong.
Because
you'll see dudes who think they're dressing well, and it's like you're definitely making a lot of choices, but that's not inherently good. You're making the wrong choices. I think it's just and I fuck up a lot too, so I can't judge anyone. But like, you just got to know what you got to have a good sense of what clothes look like on your body. You can't just be putting things on because like. You saw like a lot of guys will be like, well, I saw like Tyler, the Creator, wearing this, so I'm going to wear it. And it's like, you just have a different body. It doesn't.
Or this is true.
Yeah.
If it fits, if you can get it so it fits right, that is so much more flattering.
Oh, totally. People will get, and I think that whenever you get into anything for the first time, you want to get into it really fast and you want to try a lot of fun like things because you're not like. Like with wine, when people like get into wine and they're immediately like, well, I just want like natural orange wines. And I'm like,
totally.
Maybe learn about wine. Get the fundamentals down.
Right.
Before you put on like a furry sweater. A lot of guys will wear like Marnie sweaters. And
right.
It's like, you look like fucking Barney right now. You look insane.
That's 100% what I did with health and wellness. Like, instead of being like, I'm gonna take a multivitamin, yeah, I jumped to like the most hardcore stuff I could find online. Right? Like, I'm gonna like order stuff from Russia to fix my brain. Like, go right to like mainlining vitamin D.
Totally. And so many people will bring up like a well-dressed guy, and it's just a guy who's wearing a costume. I'm like, this, he looks like he got that at Spirit Halloween. Like, it looks terrible. I hate that shit.
Oh yeah, like at award shows.
Yeah,
I've seen that too. And I'm like, is this one of those things like with abstract art sometimes where it's like, I just assume I don't get it, so I'm gonna be like, oh, it's great. But like, that's how I feel about some outfits.
Yeah.
Like, did you see the movie? What was, oh God, it was like the big movie with Jacob
Saltburn.
Saltburn. Yeah. So good. The right. lead guy in that, the one who went naked.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was at some award show the other day. And hey, I could totally be missing it. But it was like, he was wearing a crop top and these like white cream pants.
Fascinating.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, to me, and I thought it was heinous.
Yeah. Oh, you see that so much.
Literally heinous.
Yeah.
But everyone was, but he's a great looking person.
Totally.
And I was like, I must just be missing it. But why?
I mean, that feels like something, I feel like when people get famous before they develop a sense of style and then they just turn everything over to a stylist, they end up looking so crazy.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Because it's like, or it's like, is this, you got to trust the, I mean, maybe, yeah, he just really trusted the stylist and they hated him. Or I might just be missing it.
No, I think you're not missing it. I think if on first glance it looks bad, like I think things should look good even to the untrained eye.
100%. Because it didn't do him any favors. He's great looking, so it's not, he's always going to look good. But it was like, to me, for something to jump out to me as being like, you screwed up.
No, and it's an evil thing to do because now less good looking guys are going to see that and they're going to start doing it.
When I tell you this outfit, if you did not look exactly like him, would be a huge problem.
Totally. And there are guys out there who are like, well, now I can do it. And it's like, no one can do it.
No, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You can't do it. They're showing up at the family function like, I dressed up, guys. And everyone's going to be like, when do men tell a white lie?
A white lie in the terms of like just a lie of omission, like just not
a little thing to maybe make the person feel better or something you just don't want to even get into.
Oh, I think the lie that. And I think everyone does this when you go on a date and you don't really, it didn't work. I think the white lie everyone tells is, well, I just got out of a long relationship. And it's like, no, you didn't. Come on. Anytime I get one of those, I'm like, I get it.
Right. I totally do. Yeah. That's I think a very fair white lie.
Yeah.
Cause that's a white lie in the absolute best sense because you're just trying to wrap it up and not hurt someone's feelings.
Totally.
And it's like, they don't need any more information than that.
Yeah. It is funny when people then ask for more information and I'm like, You know what's happening.
Right.
I
just got out of a long relationship and be like, oh, really? It's nothing to do with my personality. And you're like, yeah, okay, fine. It is your personality. And I've never been in a relationship in my life. Jesus Christ. How do men feel about splitting the check?
Oh.
That is a tough one. Because you got to say, one. I don't want to split the check. But then in the heart of hearts, it's like, of course you want to split the check.
That's so funny. I was just on the phone with my dad and he was like, he had just said that he had gone to a restaurant and he was like, I was next to this date and then the check came and the guy asked to split it. Can you fucking believe that? And I was like, honestly, that is pretty bad. You shouldn't be doing that.
I do actually agree.
Yeah.
Now this is going to be like real fucked up, but I'll think of it like, I don't know. I mean, maybe it depends who asked who on the date, but it would be really hard pressed. I would feel really uncomfortable with.
Oh, I would have
a hard stance on that.
No, totally. I feel like even when I was making no money, I would be like, I'll take out a loan. I'll do whatever just to keep up appearances. I will put myself in any situation to cover this check.
I wouldn't go on the date if I couldn't cover it.
100%.
And I'll fight for it. Cause I remember I've been with people that are like real, like, no, 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 no. And I'm like, you know, too late. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm leaving right now. We're not. I wonder where that comes from, though. Cause, like, yeah. A lot of times I would set that precedent and then, like, it would go on for a while. And I'd be like, okay, now I, like, resent the person for, like, us never splitting anything.
No, totally.
Which isn't fair. But it would feel like, I don't know, it would be, like, very important for me to be like, this is still something that, like, I value.
Yeah. No, I really do, too. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it is very much associated with masculinity. I mean, I know this is like super fucked up, but some part of me was like, I would think of it as a penetration tax. Let me explain. I would think of it as whoever is about to be doing the most receiving. Mm-hmm. You know, that is sex, no matter what, is extremely vulnerable.
Yeah.
But the person who's going to be receiving the stuff, I think that's like much more like of a vulnerable thing. And you know, I've gone through phases of my life where maybe they've received stuff 98% of the time and I played around with it, mm-hmm. you know, but no matter what, always. that person is receiving a bunch. So I think you're going to get fucked a whole bunch and pay for dinner. No. I'll open the door. I'll carry the bags. I'm paying for dinner. And then you be penetrated.
Totally.
This is the trade-off. And I think it's like some type of subconscious thing almost where it's like you want the person, because someone needs to feel like taken care of and respected to create the optimal penetration environment, I find.
Totally. Yeah, you gotta create the optimal penetration
but
environment.
But is that super fucked up? And it's not in a manipulative way. It's like, and even if say the woman's like, I'm more dominant, I'm in charge. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But the penetration tax is, if you're taking the stuff, then the person has to pay for the dinner.
No, totally. I mean, I'm curious because I even feel it with friends. Like I just don't like saying words, let's split it.
With friends, I'll split it, no problem.
Oh, really? Yeah. I hate doing that.
Really?
And if somebody is like, I'll let the other person fight for a little. Like if they put their card down or they're like, no, we'll split it, then I'll split it. But I will never broach splitting it.
I won't either, actually. That's true. I won't broach it. If someone suggests it, especially if it's someone I've known for a while, maybe it's a vulnerability thing. Like it feels more vulnerable to split it in some ways.
No, totally. I mean, the amount of times I'll be like, oh, you just get the next one, and then I'll get the next one. Like,
same.
Yeah.
I do that too.
I don't know what that is.
I mean, I've thought about it before, and I'm like, oh, is it because I don't think I'm worth having dinner with if I wasn't also paying for it?
Oh, interesting.
Maybe, but then also, yeah, it's just like a default comfort thing.
Yeah. What I love the idea of me doing that with a friend and my friend being like, you're not paying the penetration tax, right? Are you? What do you think is? Like, oh, fuck, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really hope this doesn't catch on. Only in the that's how I would like think of it in terms of like dating.
Totally. Yeah.
Because it's like, I got to set the scenario here for like optimal that.
Yeah.
But yeah, the friend's like sweating. Like, yes. I really don't want you to penetrate me. Please. Like, I am broke right now. And I will. I'd love it if you got dinner, but like, please, I don't want this penetration. Thank you so much for doing the show. And where can people find you online? Oh, my God.
Wait, this was so fun. This was such a blast. Thank you for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
I just have Instagram. At Moss Periconi, and yeah, that's about it.
Do you have a website?
I don't know.
Just Instagram?
Just Instagram.
This is a new thing. I've seen this like it become much more common because then people will do like a link tree with like other dates and stuff.
Oh yeah.
Because my actual website, I haven't updated in.
No, that's my fear with it. And my fear with the link tree is that like I'll end up as one of those people who just has 100 links from like 10 years ago.
I hadn't updated my website in a long time and I hired someone to spruce it up and it had been connected to my Instagram. So for a while, there would be like my Instagram would show up my website, but it got disconnected. So it was just like the generic pictures that get filled in. And he wrote me and he was like, hey, Emma, like, I just wanted to make sure this was a mistake and it wasn't like some type of like artistic expression you were trying to show to like highlight your ADD. And I was like, what? And I went and it was like the stock photos, like all these just random. And I was like, no, it got disconnected. But thank you so much for like thinking that was some weird artistic expression at the end of like, it's like mountain, beach, palm tree, like.
That's so funny. Like, this must be ADD.
Because it said in the bio, like, based in New York, like ADHD comedian. Oh. And then he was like, is this like a part, like trying to showcase that? And I was like, no, it's just Getty images of like really random, weird placeholder stuff.
That's so funny to be like, yeah, I have ADHD. I'm always thinking of mountains and lakes and people having meetings. And
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you can, leave a rate and review. That helps us out so much. And DM me at Emma Willman on Instagram. Email your questions to AMA@betches.com for our next guest or leave us a voicemail at 201-754-8351. I'll talk to you next week when we Ask Men Anything. Ask Men Anything is produced by Sean Kilby and Rebecca Steinberg. Editing by Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Anna Zagzag. Send your emails to AMA@betches.com. Betches.